Thank you, ladies, for all of your help and leading in these services. I really appreciate what the ladies do. It's such a blessing to know that we're going to have good music, good leadership, and what a blessing they are. And so thank you for all of your work. This evening, we're going to begin a little bit of a study here in Psalm 33, if you want to open up to that. And my hope is to work on this tonight and next Sunday night, and hopefully to complete it within that time, because a week from Thursday, there is an event that's going on. Does anybody know what that is? All the women do. Cindy had it right. It's Thanksgiving. So this particular psalm is a psalm of thanks. Sometimes we look at thankfulness and it almost becomes trite. So sometimes it's good for us to revisit a little bit what we really should be thankful for. And this 33rd Psalm is one of those passages in Scripture that just kind of reminds us who we need to be and who we need to give thanks for. In this country, we often are thankful for the prosperity that we have. We sit around the table that is filled with food on Thanksgiving Day, and we give these kinds of little talks, if I can use that. I don't know what your family traditions are, which, by the way, I want to tell you, Lynette had given a testimony about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to tell you how she interpreted that as a little child. She would say, oh, my favorite story is of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we kind of once in a while reminded her of that. Remember, Lynette, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So get up there and get that sleep that you need. But it's always interesting how kids interpret those kinds of things. But anyways, I don't know what your family traditions are when it comes to Thanksgiving, but we normally take a moment and say, what are we thankful for? And often the things that we mention are benefits that God has given us. But I sometimes wonder if we're just not thankful for God. So that's something we need to focus on every once in a while. And this particular psalm helps to direct us back to that kind of thankfulness, to where we can be thankful simply to God and who He is and what He's all about. And so hopefully between tonight and next Sunday night, we'll take this time to be thankful to God for who He is. And that'll carry over perhaps even into our family celebrations. Thanksgiving is such a familiar theme that we often trivialize it. And we just want to be cautious, and perhaps a fresh look at this will help us. First of all, I want you to notice that in this psalm, there is an exhortation to praise. Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. As the psalmist begins this, he kind of reminds us of where our gratitude ought to go. Okay? Notice what he says, beginning in verses 1 through 3. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. sing praises. That's not L-I-A-R. All right? So a lyre is a musical instrument. Okay? So just in case someone said, okay, I got to go find a lyre, bring him in and have praise with him. But give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Or play skillfully, and then, if you will, add to that a shout of joy. And so as this exhortation to praise comes about, the very first thing that the psalmist says here is that it's attractive to the believer. And it makes the believer attractive to God. It is becoming. It is becoming to the righteous. That first verse just kind of brings that out. Praise is fitting. It is befitting. It is comely. It is attractive to God when we offer praise. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. It's an honorable, attractive thing to do. Okay? And then he kind of goes on and he says that praise may involve musical instruments. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. This may shock you. It is not sin to bring musical instruments into the house of the Lord. You know that's not sin? Even electric guitars, Pastor, even electric guitars. That does include the trumpet. You know, praising God with musical instruments, and as the psalmist says, play skillfully before Him, is honoring. We sometimes get caught into this mindset, there's only certain instruments can be used in God's house, and some places won't even use instruments. Some of your old line Mennonites, boy, it's just, you can't bring a piano into the church, or you can't sing to musical instruments. It's beautiful to hear them sing a cappella, don't misunderstand me. But over and over, musical instruments have been used in worship, in all forms of worship, even in the Jewish tradition. Go back through and read Psalms 148, 49, 150. And see how many references there are to musical instruments and stringed instruments and high-sounding cymbals and all of the various types of instruments that are used to help to bring people to a place of praise. That honors God. It's okay to use musical instruments in worship. The piano and the organ are awesome. And they are very blessing in bringing us into worship. But I'm going to be truthful to you. The guitar is an awesome instrument as well. And so is the bass. And so are the horns. Okay, Greg? All right, Jerry?
Okay. Even Gabriel played
the trumpet. That's right. That's right. And when Jesus comes back, what's it going to be? It's going to be with the sound of a trumpet, isn't it? That's right. That's right. It doesn't matter that I don't like... No, I'm not saying... I just think that there's a benefit to a guitar over a trumpet in that it doesn't have a spit valve. And you don't have to... you don't have to drain the spit out of a guitar. That's one of the blessings of it. But anyways, praise is involving musical instruments, and that helps to enhance our worship. Do you know who invented music? And it wasn't the Beatles. All right? Do you know who invented music? God. God invented music. There has been in heaven, there has always been songs of worship and praise. Always. Before the world was formed? Yes. Before the world was formed, there was music in heaven. It's not a unique invention for the United States of America. It's not a unique invention for the Jews. It has always been a part of worship and praise that the angels were involved with. All of the creatures of heaven were involved with. There was a time before Satan's fall when Satan praised God in song. Isn't that something? Till pride swelled up in his heart. And when pride swelled up in his heart and he tried to take over the authority of God and was cast out of heaven, the song changed. And so the song of worship has always been a part of God. And he is the one who brought it about. The next thing that we see from this is in the third verse. I popped a little thing off my microphone. Does that irritate you? How about you guys in the back? Does that irritate you? Good. Praise should involve a new song. Look at verse 3. It says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. A new song, play it skillfully, and add a shout of joy. I remember the first time the worship team here in the church was going to perform. And one of the very first songs we did was a song called The Days of Elijah, which that particular song brought shock to the hearts of many. But, you know, it's a great song of worship. It's a great song of shouting to the glory of God. And it's okay to shout praise to God. To even shout in worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's all right. Amen. It's okay. Shout to the glory of God. And so as the psalmist begins this psalm, he enters in to a little bit of command, if you will, to worship God and to come before him with joyful singing, to come before him with skillful playing, to come before him with shouts of hallelujah, of glory to God for everything that he is. And now we move on and we see that he gives us some reasons then that we ought to praise him. There's an exhortation to praise in verses 1 through 3. And now he brings us into some reasons for praise in verses 4 through 19. And it's going to take us a while to work through these. So please bear with me here. First of all, one of the reasons to praise God is for his general character. Look at verses 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. You see, there's two words there that speak of the things that are important to God that ought to be important to us. He loves righteousness and justice. He loves those things. You know, righteousness is what God is. He is pure. He is holy. and contained within him is the perfect, pure righteousness that man is to have. And we need to give God glory and praise for his righteousness, for who he is. And he also loves justice. And folks, he will work out justice to his plan and to his will. When you are lied about, God takes account of that, and he'll reveal that, and he'll take care of it. Might not be this side of heaven, but there will be ultimate justice in God's eyes. He'll work out all of those things. When our hearts are not fully yielded to him, and we become vengeful or whatever, God will reveal that, because justice is who he is. He is the righteous judge. And we need to acknowledge that. And we need to recognize that not only is he justice, but he will bring about ultimate justice in this world. And so, you know, his general character is purity and holiness. And you want to know something? That's to be our character too. We have been made in the image of God. Being made in the image of God, we are to take on his characteristics. Now, we're not going to create worlds, all right? We're not going to be rulers of our own little worlds with our 72 virgins and all of that kind of thing. Okay, we're not talking that. But what we're talking about is that the fact that the things that God cares about and he's interested in ought to be the things that we care about and that we're interested in. Truth, justice, love, commitment. You see, all of these areas of the character and the nature of God are instilled within us when the Holy Spirit himself comes to indwell us. Because God doesn't set certain parts of his character and nature aside to enter us. He brings all of who he is to dwell in us. And so the very things that he loves, we are to love as well. And the psalmist is kind of reminding us that in our praise, we need to acknowledge all that God is and worship him for that. Second aspect of this, and this is probably all the farther we'll get tonight, is that another reason to pray is because of God's wisdom and power as it's shown in creation. Look at verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. It is laughable when we look at science. Science that denies the existence of God and thinks that they've got it all figured out. Science that talks about, you know, the Big Bang Theory. You know, there's this conglomeration of materials that suddenly explodes and what do we have? Universes. I'll tell you what, if you can believe that, you've got a lot more faith than I have. And they say we're crazy because we worship the God who speaks and universes are formed. The psalmist is in awe of the authority of God and of His power and of His abilities. And he's trying to remind the people in this psalm of thanksgiving, this psalm of praise, he's trying to remind them of who God is. And the fact that they only exist because of the word of God's mouth. He is the creator of all things. He speaks, and it is so. He speaks, and it is there. He speaks, and it will be done. He speaks, and it will explode. God's authority and power is all-encompassing. And we should be in awe of who He is. We should praise Him with grateful hearts that we know Him and that He loves us. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to stand before Him on the day of judgment and hear the words, "Depart, for I don't know you." I would rather stand before Him and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your joy." That's what I want to hear. We need to acknowledge that He is the one who is the ultimate decider. He is the one who created what He created. He'll destroy what He wishes to destroy. He will love what He wishes to love. He will bless what He wishes to bless. And He's not going to violate what He's promised us, because that would go against His character. That would go against His very nature. We need to thank Him simply for who He is. Let's stand. Next week, we're going to pick up on working our way through the remainder of this psalm. And then hopefully, when we celebrate in Thanksgiving, we'll take a moment and we'll just thank God for who He is. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, again, we stand in this service ready to turn off the lights, ready to walk out of this place of security and go out into a world that is hostile against You. But Father, You are on the throne. You are in control. And as we looked at this morning, You're going to promise that nothing's going to be placed on us that we can't handle with Your help. But You're going to give us opportunity. And Father, I pray that in this coming week, as opportunities come to honor You, that we'll be up to the task, fully yielded, fully committed. Let our lives be representative of Your character. And Lord, we'll give You thanks for what You do. Now watch over us that we might reflect You, for it's in Your glorious and holy name we pray, and all of God's people said,